When was the last time that God called you to do something that you felt was just really terrifying? When God nudges us into the unknown, it can be thrilling and exciting, but also overwhelming and risky. So whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a corporate leader looking to follow God's calling or a retiree who knows that you've got more to give to this world, my guest today is going to encourage you to walk that out and take a leap of faith for the Lord. Rachel G. Scott joins me today. This is the Heidi St. John Podcast. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. So, Rachel, my friend, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I am honored to be here with you today.
Well, I have been looking forward to this. We were just saying before we started recording, I haven't seen you since before the world was on fire. Right. At an event in North Carolina. And since then, girl, you have been kicking it up. You've got a new book out. I'm so excited. So this is your first time on my show, right?
Is it? Yes, it is the first time.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that either. My bad. Okay. So tell my audience a little bit about you and your family and sort of where you come from, what God's doing in your life.
Yeah, so I am Rachel. I am a wife, a mother. My husband and I, we have a blended family of seven. So our youngest is like eight. Yeah. Our youngest, he's nine. I keep saying he's eight. I'm just not ready for him to be.
Right.
And then our oldest is around 26. So we have everything in between. I have a kid graduating next month. So all the things happening right now.
Yeah.
And I have a ministry called I Can't Come Down, where I just encourage women to walk in their purpose and assignment and take bold leaps of faith. So I've been spending a lot of time just doing Bible studies. I'm a Bible teacher. So doing Bible studies and ministering and encouraging people. And then I have this book that recently came out a couple months ago. And it's
all about taking leaps. On.
Right. As if I didn't have anything else going on.
Write a book.
Why not write a book?
I love it. Well, when I found out about this, you texted me some time ago, telling me about what you were doing. And I'm super excited. And like you and I were talking about a minute ago, I think this is a really timely message because there are a lot of, we're here for this time. We're here for it, right?
Yeah.
It's 2024. Yeah. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Like, I just do not think we're going to sail through November. Like it's calm sailing. I really don't. And yet God knew that we were going to be here. Like he's got a call in our life, an assignment that he wants us to complete. And it takes courage to do that. I think sometimes to be able to really listen and be attuned to the sound of his voice. So I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of people listening to this who they're feeling the nudge, but they're not like, is this my flesh? Is this the Lord? Tell me a little bit about sort of why you decided to jump into this topic and write about taking these leaps that God calls you to take.
Yeah. You know, I think about my life and I think that this has really been my life in a nutshell is taking these different leaps and feeling like there's only one way to do this and the pressure that sometimes comes with it, but also me just wanting to obey God, but not always knowing what that looked like. So there was the mixture of my life. And then also I had someone that I was mentoring in a season and she was a healthcare worker, but she wanted to become a full-time writer. And I'm like, that might be a little bit hard to do. And I didn't want to discourage her. You know,
right.
I love
my little
writers.
You're going to be writing in midnight, girl.
Right. And so, but I knew that tension she felt. I had felt that tension before when it's like, I want to obey what God is calling me to do, but does that mean I have to walk away from everything? So after that time, I encouraged her, prayed with her, did all the things, but it really left me thinking, God, is this the only way? I've been there before where I've walked away from everything. Is that the only way to obey that nudging to step into something? And if not, show me someone in the Bible. And I always ask God during my Bible studies, especially if I have a very specific question, show me someone in the Bible who dot, 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 dot. So, and that's how this whole five leaps came about.
So you're kind of talking about taking a risk, right? Because anytime, you and I were just talking about my run for Congress, one of the scariest things that I have ever done. But I also felt that same nudge when I wrote my first book, a long, long time ago. Kind of know, you start to sense this call of God in your life, sort of this, I don't want to say discontent's not the right word, but just a nudge in your spirit. Like God wants me to do something different. So I kind of want to start there because it requires courage and wisdom to be able to know, hey, this is the Lord. It's not my flesh, right? It's God's call in my life. And then there are a lot of women who feel like, oh man, I'm just in the wrong season of my life. And you know what? Maybe they are in the wrong season, right? And so it's knowing when to take that leap and when God wants us to, you know, when are we still and we wait because it's not God's timing? And when do we take the leap? So walk us through sort of what the five, you know, leaps are and how you came to sort of discover them in your own life.
Yeah. And I think about that place where you're saying, you know, there's this kind of this nervousness where you hear God's voice and you know what he's telling you, but you don't know what to do next. Or what I found and really what got this going was I was encouraging people to walk in their purpose, walk in your assignment, do what God has called you to do, but they weren't doing it. I'm like, why? Like they know what to do. They have the encouragement. They have the tools, but they're not doing it. And it was really rooted in fear of this idea that there's only one way to do it. So let me just tell you what the five leaps are first, and then I'll break each one down for you. So it's the fisherman, tent maker, builder, shepherd, and trailblazer. So the fisherman is based off of the story of Peter. And it's that one is really the one we're most often afraid of, which is when God is telling us to completely leave our career and to step into our calling. Like that one is the one that terrifies most of us because we don't know. We don't know what to do next. We don't know the provision. We don't know any of those things. The tent maker is based on the story of Paul. And I like to say that's when your career and your calling occupy space in the same season. So you may not be leaving your career completely, but you're starting that podcast, you're writing that book, you're starting that ministry, and you really have to manage and steward your time well as knowing how to delegate through the process. But it's still a leap because it's still going to require you to take a risk. You don't know what the outcome will be. And then we have the builder's leap, which is Nehemiah, one of my favorite, hence my ministry is named after him. The I Can't Come Down movement. But that's when God is temporarily telling you to leave your career and go into your calling and you go back to it. So I remember there was a time when I was helping writers write like self-publisher books, and there was a airline pilot and she took 3 months off to write her book. And then she went back to being an airline pilot. So that's that person who knows that God is calling them to do something, but it may not be walking away from it fully, but it's a temporary thing, just like when Nehemiah temporarily left his role as a cupbearer and returned. Mm. And then we have the shepherd's leap, which is Abraham. And that is when God is calling you to relocate. He's giving you new territory in a new space for him to get the glory out of. And finally, we have the trailblazer's leap, which is Jesus. He has done all of these leaps, and we get to learn from him what it looks like to live a leaping lifestyle. But also, we learn to disciple other people. Because we know that we are going to do greater works than he did. And so if he did all these leaps, we're going to be doing those leaps plus. And so we disciple other people that are in these different leaps and how to do it and how to walk with God through it.
So what do you think that, so what, when I think about my, I can't help it, you know, it's just this how I'm wired. I just think about all the leaps that God's asked my husband and I to take over the years, you know, like starting the homeschool resource center was really a leap. Having seven children was it was really a leap. And sometimes I think we can, the hard part I think is to lean into, or at least this is how it's been for me, to differentiate, okay, this is the Lord versus this is my flesh. Do you talk about that in the book? Like how do we learn to listen for the call of God on our own life so that we know, oh, hey, this is the Lord.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I encourage people to do in the book is to really tune into his voice. Like my sheep know my voice.
Yes. And follow me.
Decipher and right. And to distinguish his will from ours. So there's really, we got to first truly be dead to flesh and our own will and our own desire. We have to truly surrender that first, because what I found is that I share this story all the time is that I wanted to be a gospel backup singer. Now I'm glad I didn't do that, but that was my dream. That was my dream. I'm like, I'm going to sing backup for somebody's gospel, something, not a writer, not a, you know, having a ministry. None of those things were even on my radar, but there came a point in my life. It is so interesting, but it came a point in my life where I'm like, Lord, I want what you have for me.
Yeah.
I want what you have for me. And I believe in that posture and in that place is when we then can hear what God wants, because often it will use the tools that could have been used in another way, but it won't always be exactly that same thing. So I would say just make sure that you're leaning into God's voice and you're removing that this is what I want. Because if it's too much of you in it, then there's not enough of God in it typically.
Boy, that's true. And at least in my experience, when God's asking you to do something, he will often ask you to do something that you're just like, oh, hey, yeah, I don't think so. That seems, you know, either outside of my skill set or outside, I don't have the provision for that, or I don't have the time, mm-hmm. or I don't have the money, or whatever it is. I know that you've had this experience in your life, I'm imagining, you know, multiple times. And I'm curious to know, you know, when you look back over leaps that you've taken, that God's asked you to take, what comes to mind when you think this was the whopper, this was the big fish where I was like, ooh, I don't know about that.
Yeah. So I would say it is when God called both me and my husband to step out and do our blended family ministry full time. That was hard because my husband had been on his job for 15 years.
Yep.
I had another dream fulfilled, which I wanted to be a teacher at the time. And that shifted, but I'm a teacher now, but I'm a Bible teacher, a different kind of teacher.
Come on.
But, you know, I had finally done that. I was finally where I wanted to be at. And so when God called us to start the Blended Family Ministry, we were tent makers at the time. We were funding the ministry. We were doing all the things, but we knew that we were limited. So the first person to leave was my husband, and partially because my son needed some extra care and with my schedule, because I was a teacher, I had summers off and things like that. But also I just knew the calling on my son's life. He needed mm-hmm. his dad to really be in the picture in a greater capacity. And I'm already seeing why. Like even at 9 years, I'm like, this is why. Mm. But all that being said, he left first, and then I felt God call me out. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. What is this going to look like?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and say that it was easy. But what I will say is when I look back on that season, the things that we learned in that season helped establish me for the season that I'm in right now.
Mm.
And so my husband, he was a builder. So he ended up going back to working in a different industry that he actually had asked and prayed about. And God like miraculously opened the door. I share that in the book. It was just the craziest thing. And then God opened up the door for me to start with this, with the I Can't Come Down movement, which led to the book and which led to all the other things. So had I not taken that first step, none of this other stuff would have existed because I wouldn't have been able to see what else he wanted me to do because I wouldn't have had the time.
Yeah. And I love that you pointed out, you know, the thing that happened before that was God making the way. Right. Yeah. And I think sometimes we look at the season that we're in or what God has us in right now, we think this isn't really it, but God's getting you ready. And the thing that he's having you do now is getting you ready for whatever is coming. He's looking for obedience, right? He wants us to walk it out in faithfulness and obedience. The Bible says he who can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And I think sometimes we want the much before we've done the hard work of the little and the behind the scenes and all of those things. When somebody realizes that, oh, this is the Lord, he's asking me. Now, you know, you've done the hard work. You've been praying into it. You sought wisdom and counsel. And, you know, this is the voice of the Lord in my life. What's the steps? Because you were saying at the beginning, you know, people are like, I know I'm supposed to do this. Like, this is my calling. I'm supposed to walk in it. But then they don't do it because they don't know what, you know, what to do. So what do they do first? Once you realize, oh, hey, you know, what are the next steps?
Yeah. You know, the first thing that I have had to learn and I'm still learning is we have to make obedience a non-negotiable.
That's right.
Like obedience has to become a non-negotiable. Yep. I know there were so many seasons of my life where I just negotiated with God. Like, okay, if you do this, then I'll do that. Right. If you do it this way, then I'll do it that way. And God is like, listen, there's no negotiating with me. You're either going to obey me or you're not. So that right there has convicted me so much in my life. And so for the person, the first thing I would say is have you made obedience a non-negotiable? Mm. And if not, then it's time to go to prayer and confess and repent and say, Lord, I need to make this a non-negotiable in my life, but I'm afraid. What's causing you not to? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So prayer is going to be the first step at all times. And here's the other thing that we often miss, which is the second step. Linger and listen. Mm. Linger and listen. A lot of times we pray and we say, okay, God, I know this is what you're telling me to do, but then we move on to the next thing. Okay, this is how I think I'm supposed to do it. This is what I think it's supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but when I would move ahead of God and put the cart before the horse, things have just not gone right.
Oh, girl, I know. And then you're like, I should have waited. Yeah.
Yeah. So the next thing is we pray and then we listen. What is the next step that God wants me to take? I have to ask him that. This is his plan. We're building his kingdom, not our own. Mm. We are bringing people into his body, not our own. So what is the next step that he wants us to take is going to come from him. And until he gives that, then we just wait. But we now are in a posture in our hearts that we're willing to do it. And I always say God can do more with our willingness than he could ever do with our worthiness. So, you know, there that posture in our heart of willingness, then he'll begin to reveal, okay, I want you to do this. I'll connect you with this person. Look at this resource that opens up. And all of those things will begin to play out.
Mm-hmm. With it. And the, you know, it's really difficult when your heart is willing, but God asks you to wait.
Yeah.
Right. And you think, you know, a lot of times years ago when I wanted to start the Homeschool Resource Center, I remember, you know, back to 2016 when Obama was like, hey, the bathroom bill, right? That's the first time we started to see some of the insanity in the schools. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it was there before, but now all of a sudden we're like, oh, hey, look what's right. happening. Like, this is crazy. And I remember telling my husband, because I was in Chattanooga speaking at the time, I'm like, we're going to have to do more than we're doing now, because the homeschool co-ops aren't going to cut it anymore. We're going to need more help than what we're doing. And the Lord put this on our heart, this, and we began to pray into it. And I thought, oh, we saw some buildings that were for sale. And I thought, those are the ones. We prayed and worked and labored into it. And the Lord said, no, these aren't the ones. And that waiting can be excruciating,
yeah.
right? When you've got something on your heart and you're like, but Lord, like the barn's on fire. Right, I got an escape route. Like, no, you gave me the right now. Yeah. How do we lean into that season, Rachel, of just, you know, like God's burdened your heart with something,
yeah.
but he says, not quite yet. Just hang in there. I mean, you were talking about lingering, right?
Yeah.
And the willingness, how do we wait?
Yeah. You know, I would say that for me, what I've had to learn to do is be content.
Oh,
like that contentment is going to be key, because we don't know all the details. And I've had to remind myself of that. Like, I don't know all of the details as to why he's saying not right now. He does. Mm-hmm. But I know when he does move, it's going to be in the perfect timing. I believe in that season, he's teaching us how to be content. But here's the other thing he's doing is he's preparing us. We think we're ready, but oftentimes there's things that have to happen in between there that prepares us for mm-hmm. what he's going to do. And if we move ahead, then what we see is things happening that we're unprepared for, that we would have been prepared for had we lingered and waited and been content in what he was doing in that season. You know, whether it's the connections he brings, whether it is a shift that has to happen in our heart for a specific person that he's going to bring, all of those things is all part of the waiting, and he's preparing us the whole time.
Yeah. And it may be, I mean, we tell our kids this, right? When they're, you know, I've got several kids in their 20s now, and several of them who are looking for, and I have three kids who are married and several who are just longing to be married. Yeah. And I've often said to them, you know, you might be ready, but the person God has for you may not be ready. Yes. And so while you're praying and while you're asking the Lord, help me be content in the waiting, be praying for the thing that, or, you know, that person that God wants to bring, or that thing that you're waiting for, whatever yeah. it is, because God's not just, he's multitasking, right? We've got our eyes set on something, but God's like, yeah, you're missing this right over here, honey. You're missing this piece. This is, you know, and we need to be willing to say, Lord, I trust you. I mean, that's what I hear you saying, right, Rachel? You're
yeah.
like, we got to trust that the Lord is good. His timing, like you said, is perfect. And we don't right. want to go outside of his timing, because it's not going to be what he wanted if we do that.
Right. And I think of the story of Joseph and what happened when God planted that seed. He gave him that dream, but then he started telling everyone and doing all these things. And I like to say that it's called a secret place for a reason. He shares things with us in the secret place for a reason. You know, and often we want to go and tell everyone about it, and that's great. But there's something that he is doing in yeah. that season. And if we don't know how to just lean into what he is saying, what he is doing, what his will is. And here's the other thing. I call it heaven's PPE. He prepares us for the plan that he wants us to execute. He prepares us first. We're so used to, okay, go to school, get all, you already know what you want to do. You have a plan, go to school, learn, get prepared after the plan, and then execute. The world teaches us plan first, then prepare, and then execute. But God is saying, plan, prepare, plan, and then execute. He's preparing us. And we spend years and years and years and years being prepared for that one moment, for that one opportunity, for that one thing that was burdening our heart. We're spending years preparing for that. And we don't like that preparation season because it takes too long.
Come
it takes
on.
Too long.
Yeah.
But when it happens, we're like,
I mean, Amazon going to come in 2 days, girl.
Listen. Right.
We don't want any of that, right? We're kind of a, you know, if we want a hamburger, you know, run down to, you know, Chick-fil-A right. and get yourself some Jesus chicken, right? And you can have it in 5 minutes flat. We don't like to wait, but so much of the waiting is when God does the work, right? The
yes.
work is done in the waiting, so that when he finally says, all right, I'm going to open this door for you, you're ready. Like the hard work has been done, and you don't want to do it when you're not ready.
That's right. You don't, because then you'll look back and you're like, God, why? God, why? He's like, I've been trying to get you ready this whole time.
Yeah.
That's what I've been trying to do. So it's really that don't move ahead of God. I've had to learn this in my own life. It's like, don't put the cart before the horse.
Cause you're a doer like me. I'm a doer. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you see a problem, you're like, oh, hey, let's go fix the problem. Right.
That's
and
it.
Yeah. And so we don't like to wait. Right.
No,
laundry's got to get done right now. Right now.
Yep. There you go.
It's true. It's really true. When you look back over your life and the leaps that God's asked you to take and you know, what comes to your mind when you just think, oh, here, there was this one in particular where I was just like, oh boy. And you really had to lean into God's timing.
Yeah. I would say, there's a couple that come to mind, but I would say probably the more recent one of honestly writing this book, because up until that point, you know, I had self-published all of my books. I could get them done in 3 months flat. You know,
it takes a lot of work with a publisher. You're like, wait, what? You just bumped it out 6 months for why?
It's like
they do that too.
Two to three years. We just talked about like, let's go. And that process has taught me so much patience, but it was also, I remember telling God, like, you know, I could just do this. Like I could just write this book and it'll be out by next week.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then I can get this off my list and move on to the next thing.
That's it. But he's like, no, this is the way that I want this to go. This is the process that I have for you. And you know, that to me started truly a journey of me learning how to be still and wait on God. And even the book writing process, my other books, when I wrote them, I was writing from my own reservoir of experience.
Yeah.
This book, I was writing from the depth of the word. And so when he revealed it to me, it was like, as he wanted to reveal it to me in his timing and in his way. And I'm like, Lord, we have a deadline that this needs to be done by.
I can relate.
And we met the deadline, but it was like he was working on me through the process. He's like, I'm preparing you for what you're going to be delivering. And that's what we got to realize, that he's preparing us for what he's using us as his vessels to deliver out to other people.
Yeah, I love that. There are going to be a lot of people listening to this, you know, men and women who have a dream in their heart, like something that God wants them to do. And oftentimes I think it feels so overwhelming that we just go, you know what, forget it. You know, maybe I'm going to just do whatever it is I'm currently doing for the rest of my life. And we don't move forward. I think you absolutely nailed it out of the gate today, saying that it's fear, right? It's so much of it. And we know that that's not from the Lord, right? God didn't give us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. That's from the Lord. But there are seasons of our lives. I think this is absolutely true of women, when we're raising little ones, especially when the season is to lean into our children. I was just talking to Bridget Cameron about this, because we don't get a do-over. And there are lots of women, and I'm really concerned, and my listeners are going to be used to hearing me say this, because I say it a lot lately. I don't know why God has this on my heart so much, but I am grieved, Rachel, at the number of young mothers I see, especially spending all their time on social media, you know, trying so hard to be noticed. You know, we're working so hard to put the perfect images up of our quiet time, and we're not actually having quiet time. We're just taking pictures about it, right? This was, you know, you just spent, you know, 35 minutes making that beautiful graphic.
Right.
How much time did you actually spend in the word? So I started telling women, I don't want to hear about your quiet time anymore.
Right.
Stop.
It's a secret place.
It's a secret place. Keep it a secret, you know, but there are some, and there are lots of us, and I know you've been there and I've been there too, when I have a dream, but it isn't the right season.
Yeah.
And God has me in a season where the focus needs to be on these little people that call me mom, right? Yeah. Or, you know, maybe there's a man listening to this right now and the Lord's saying to him, hey, pay attention to your family. Don't lose your marriage. Lean into the relationship that I gave you. I mean, I teach all the time, and I'd love to hear, you know, your thoughts on this, but I feel like when we honor God's priorities, the blessing follows, right? Mm-hmm. We know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, out of an overflow of what happens between me and God in the secret place. I'm going to keep saying it. I love that you said that. Out of that overflow, then we pour into our marriage.
Yeah.
And out of an overflow of a healthy marriage, right? In which our priorities are correct and we're spending the time that we need to spend with each other. We're nurturing that relationship so that the home is strong. Then we pour into our children. And out of an overflow of that, we pour into other people, to ministries, to dreams, to visions, to whatever it is that God gives us. But when we do it backward and the kids aren't healthy and the marriage isn't healthy and we're not spending time with the Lord in that quiet place, we are putting it all at risk. I mean, that's what I think.
Absolutely. I have a short story I want to share about that. So right around the time I think you and I met, I was really going to step into my speaking. I'm like, I'm going to speak twice, speak 2-3 times, travel all over. And at this time, my kids were much younger. I had like a 5-year-old, they were stair step, but they were younger.
Yeah.
And my focus was just this thing that I felt like I was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I can say that I was still, because we were a blended family, I was still cultivating some things within my husband and I, with my stepkids, with my biological kids, trying to blend the family. And there was a piece of me that was doing that. And I'm speaking to someone and I'm not sure who it is yet, but there was a piece of me that was doing that because I was running. And I was running from some of the challenges we were facing. I was running from, just the overwhelm at times that I felt in trying to be the mother and just all the things. Mm-hmm. So I remember when a couple years ago, I really felt this nudging to slow down to lay down my desire to speak all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was hard because I had done everything. I mean, I had gotten the training and the coaching and the this and the that and the this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh? Are you sure? You know, I was right in the position where I was about to start pitching to hundreds of people like, hey, bring me on. Mm-hmm. And I look at that season and so much happened in between there that I needed to be spiritually prepared for, prepare my family for. And I had laid that down because, and I remember, let me say this. I remember talking to my kids and I asked them, I said, well, how often are you okay with mommy being gone? And of course, they each said a different range, but it really boiled down to like 2 days. That's all. Like I could get away with a weekend. That was about it. But what that told me was, okay, Rachel, now is not the time.
Come on.
It's not that it's not going to happen, but right now your family is your priority. Right now, there are things that I'm doing within you in the home. And so much of what we cultivate in the home is carried outside of the home. So if it's not being cultivated in the home, it can't be carried outside the home. And they were leaving the world to teach them what they need to know. And that's not going to go well. I'm going to just say that. That's not going to go well. So I had to lay that down. And that was so hard for me. And it was such a sacrifice. And I felt so ready. But that's when God started to open up so many other doors to get his message, because it was about his message, his will, his kingdom, to get his message out to the people in so many other ways. And now I'm like, even having conversations like this, this is going to share with people that I might not ever be able to stand in front of. So I had to sacrifice that season of something I was prepared for, that I had invested in, that I thought it was time for. And God was like, nope. Not yet. And out of that, it's so interesting because even my son, who I thought was going to do so many other things, he's like, Mom, I think I want to speak and I think I want to do this. I think I want to, like, all the things that I'm doing. I'm like, really? So there's a timing, and I didn't know he was watching me. And so what did I teach him in that moment? There's times where you have to sacrifice and you have to lay it down for your family. He learned it's that so in good. That moment.
Yeah, it's so good. And your kids really are, they're taking their cues from mom and dad.
Yes.
And we can't pass on what we don't possess. And so if we want to establish our families, which is what we're, what we're doing, if we want to establish our families, that's where the cultivating is done first, right? That's where the hard work is done first. And I think, boy, it matters. And the fact that you could hear the Lord, and sometimes it is disappointing, but I would like to point out for everyone who's not watching this on YouTube, you are still young and beautiful. There is much still ahead for you. I'm not sitting here talking to him. Yeah, I raised my kids. And now you're sitting here and you're 85 years old and you're just like, I don't know how many more years I got left. No, you got time. You know, and I spent, years and years and years. My oldest daughter is 32. I spent years and years and years just teaching prepositions and, pronouns. I actually know how to use pronouns. I would just like to say all of my children know how to use pronouns. We understand.
The correct way, the way that they're supposed to be.
We've got the syntax down. Like, we totally get what's a plural pronoun versus a singular pronoun. I mean, I could get so derailed right now. But my point is, there were years and years and years of my life that were spent doing that. Yeah. And a lot of it was done in the quiet place. Nobody else is watching, you know, but that's where the hard work is done. And that's where we learn to listen to the sound of the voice of the Lord in our life. So we know when to go. Cause when God's talking to you, you don't want to run ahead of him and we don't want to lag behind, and we want to walk with him. You know, Lord, show me, lead me, show me where you want me to go. And we know he's not going to ask you to do something that's outside of his will for you. So you got to get those priorities in line. You know, we don't want to sacrifice our families, the best thing that God's given us, on the altar of a good thing, right? Yeah. We want to hang on to that. And then when the time is right, take the leap, right?
We learn
just now, you know, wow, God just gave you the green light. Go, right? And it's exciting to sort of watch what God does. And then we learn to take, because I even think, I mean, I don't know, Rachel, tell me what you think, but I feel like staying home with your children, you know, focusing on your kids, and that's a leap too, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. I'm not homeschooling currently, but when I did, I knew, I'm like, this is what God is calling me to do, because I saw some things in my kids that could only be cultivated within the home to prepare them for going out into the world. And I tell my kids every year, it's a new conversation. I'm like, one year to the next, it depends on what's going on, what I'm seeing, what I'm paying attention to, what God is calling me to for you all. So they know that's an ongoing conversation where they're going to be in each year. But I realized that, you know, we have to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, because we see where our kids are headed. We see what's going on in the world, and we have to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord and how he wants us to direct them.
Yeah, it's so true. And then when we're ready, you talk about in the book about this sort of a leaping, you call it a leaping lifestyle. And it just so resonated with me. And I was talking to my husband about it, because I was like, listen, those girls got the leap down. I wasn't going to call that because I didn't have a word for it. I love that God gave that to you. But it really, to me, what you're saying is, here's how we jump from one thing to the next, that God is saying, this is a leap of faith. It really is. Mm-hmm. But it's just like that scene out of Indiana Jones. Remember that, where he's getting ready to take that leap of faith and he doesn't see any fun. It's like, okay. And he, boom. And the step is there. Yeah. Right. What does it look like, Rachel, that to learn to walk in this so that you cultivate a lifestyle of just following the Lord, sort of this leaping lifestyle?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to recognize that that's what Jesus did, is that he lived a leaping lifestyle, and we want to model after our Savior. We want to model after him. So the idea of a leaping lifestyle is to just accept and embrace the fact that we are going to be taking more leaps. Even when you finish the last one, that wasn't the last one. The last one, we'll be leaping all the way to glory. And that's what I say.
that's the last one
we'll be taking. And when we have that mindset.
And that's a leap too.
It is.
It is.
It truly is. Because everything we're doing, remember I said we spend all that time preparing for the plan. All this life is preparation. That's all that it is. We're preparing for our eternity. And that is exactly what we're going to experience as we are living our life, is just preparing for the plan, executing, prepare, plan, execute. So even once you get into one leap, that's probably not the last one. And if you can have that mindset, then you can carry with you the lesson that you learn in each one of God's faithfulness, so that when the next thing comes up that might be difficult, might be challenging, the enemy tries to discourage us and make us think, okay, is he going to show up for this one? You could say, well, you know what? The last one he showed up, and he is faithful and he is consistent, and we can continue to go back to that. So that's the idea of a leaping lifestyle. Just get it in your body, get it in your mind. You're going to be leaping all the way to glory.
I love it. I think sometimes, you know, I wonder, I'm starting to occasionally a picture of my homecoming. Like, what's it going to be like, you know, when I finally get to see the Lord face to face. And I often think, I was telling my husband one time, I think I'm going to arrive at, you know, heaven's gate, and my hair is going to be on fire, my knees are going to be bloody, and there's going to be holes in my jeans, and the Lord's going to go, hey, you're here.
Yes.
You know, that one last leap, and we're going to be with the Lord. And it's not long. We want to be living like we're leaving, because we are. Ooh, you know, we're not going to be here forever. We want to live like we're leaving. And I love that, because you can live like you're leaving and you're leaping at the same time. Yes. Hey, look at that. Look at the alliteration. Come on, girl. All right. What are some insights? So when I hope people are going to go out and get your book, because I know, and I'm just going to keep saying it. God has something he wants us to do. We're not here for no reason. Right. We're here to engage. We should be a part of the, you know, stop siloing yourself behind the four walls of your churches and get out into the culture, be the salt and light that God asks you to be. You can't do that unless you're willing to learn how to leap, right? That's and so it. I'm hoping people are going to run out and grab your book. What are some of the key takeaways? Like when people finish this book that you've written, what are in your heart are you hoping? I hope they walk away with this.
Yeah, I would say the first thing is that they understand there's more than one way to respond to the call. There's mm-hmm. more than one way to take this leap. It's, if he's calling you to do the fisherman and walk away from everything, he's with you. He's mm-hmm. not, it's, you're not going to be alone. There's going to be provision. So they understand the way that God provides and that there's more than one way to respond to the call. There's four other ways that he may be leading you to. Then the other thing that's a big one for me is this idea of a leaping lifestyle. I want everyone to walk away saying, okay, I may have to pick this book up again the next time and the next time and the next time because I'm called to live a leaping lifestyle. And I want to disciple other people as they're stepping into their leaps, as they're leaping into their next phase. I want to be a disciple. So our end goal is to become a trailblazer. I think everyone at some point in their life should become a trailblazer because that's what we saw that Jesus was. So if you walk away with anything, understand that you're called to live a leaping lifestyle and that there is more than one way to respond to the call of God.
Man, and if ever we needed trailblazers, we need them now. We need them now. Yes. I was just at an event a few days ago in our state capitol, and I spoke there on the importance of how to be a mama bear. They said, can you talk about getting off the bench and onto the battlefield? And I said to them, I believe this is true. If the church would engage, if we would stop sitting on the couch, get off of social media, turn off of Netflix, we get home and we just. Our mind's just like, bleh, and I'm like, girl, you got some more hours, come on, God's got something he wants you to do. Get off of Netflix right now. Not that you can't watch a movie, but come on. We're doing this every night of our life. If the church would engage, if we would get out of the four walls of our churches, if we would say, Father, what do you want me to do? We pray for instruction. Right? God, we pray for direction. Show me what you want me to do. And we develop this sort of leaping lifestyle. If the church would engage in politics, if we would engage in education, if we would engage in entertainment, for goodness sake. I mean, we got to put up with Holly Weird because Christians decided, well, we cede that to the enemy. Why? Right. Why do we do that? Christians belong in business. Yeah. We belong in all of these spheres of influence. And I think if we would do that, we would see a renewal in the culture. Of a God honoring a family that was taking this leap and saying, we're going to get out there and actually be the salt and light that God calls us to be. And he wants us to do that. And every single person, like it wouldn't help you, Rachel, if you write the book and people read it and go, well, that's really sweet. But then no one starts to learn how to leap. Right. Then you kind of did it for nothing. Right. Yes. Or we talk about, the importance of, I really do think we could turn, people say, well, just give up on politics. No, if the church would vote, we would win.
Yeah.
But we don't vote. We stay home. We go, well, my vote don't really matter. Right. Yeah, you're right. Because you don't do it. So it doesn't matter. You're right.
Right.
So it all comes back to living out our calling that God has on our lives. And you are doing it so beautifully and setting the example for so many people. And I love that you've got your priorities right and you're teaching other people how to learn to listen because it really is all about obedience. And it just encourages me so much. Where can people find your book, Taking the Five Leaps? I'm assuming it's at, the big A at Amazon.
Yeah.
I try to get people away from Amazon, but I don't know how you get away from Amazon because my book's there too.
They can go to Moody. It's cheaper on there anyway.
There you go.
Moody Publishers. You go to Moody Publishers or just go to my website. There's a couple other places that you can go. RachelGScott.com. Everything. I have a quiz on there that just helps you identify your natural leap tendency. I feel like if people know their natural leap tendency, they can know the ones that they're more resistant to. And then the book will help them navigate that. So I have a quiz, the podcast, the book, all the things, RachelGScott.com.
RachelGScott.com. Rachel, you are such a treasure. I'm so thankful that you're here. Thank you for coming on the show today. It's just been a delight to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed my time.
You're welcome. For more information on my friend Rachel, head on over to HeidiSaintJohn.com/podcast. I will link back to the book at Moody and at Amazon for those of you who still want that 2-day shipping and you don't want to put in all the extra information. I know. I hear from you. So head on over there. I hope this has been such an encouragement and a blessing to you. I will also link back to Rachel's website in the show notes today. I hope that you guys will get off the bench and onto the battlefield. God wants to use you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and culture.